Oh, I guess I didn't do an intro. Hello, it's Whispers from the Heart Radio. I forgot to do our live intro. That's crazy. Hold on. Let's do it.
Join Erica Busser-Haney, international psychic medium and host of Whispers from the Heart Radio. Listen as she interviews some of the best psychics, mediums, holistic practitioners, authors, speakers, and paranormal experts in the country. Radio for your heart, mind, and spirit. Sundays at 9 p.m. CST at Listen Live at coldcasepsychic.com.
All right, guys, tonight we've got a treat. I want to say that the subject matter with our next guest is really telling for our environment right now. We're going to talk about things like addiction. We're going to talk about things about unity and love and spreading happiness and smiles and joy. So if you are feeling down and out right now, this is the perfect show for you. I want you to call your friends, text them, send messages on Messenger through Facebook, because I know you're out there. They're looking at your Facebook right now, scrolling through. And I want you to listen to my guest tonight. I think he really can help you feel a little better, and I think you'll see some commonality in his story of obstacles, because we've all been through obstacles. And I think you'll not feel him as a victim, but I think you'll feel him as victorious. And so we're going to talk about that tonight. My guest tonight is Edward Eddie Rodriguez. He's known as the Happiness Man, so we're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk about his life of overcoming challenges. We're going to talk about, again, addiction. We're going to talk about financial ruin. We're going to talk about building houses with your bare hand. We're going to talk about losing money again in a business. We're going to talk about falling into a deep depression, which is, you know, when we went through this COVID thing and a lot of people lost their jobs, again, I think that we can kind of relate to a lot of the things that he's gone through. We're going to talk about serious health issues like cancer. We're going to talk about having a brain hemorrhage. We're going to talk about the loss of a child. And in all of that, again, we're going to talk about victory, not victimness. So welcome to the show. My guest will call you Eddie because that's easier than Edward. Welcome to the show,
oh, yeah.
Edward.
Thank you very much. I'm so honored to be here.
Oh, my pleasure. I've had, like, you know, because I'm in Florida, and I was blessed not to have a lot of damage, but a lot of my friends and family members have had damage, clients and whatnot. So I'm feeling blessed, but I'm thinking that anybody right now that's listening to this in the world can use a little happiness. So I'm glad to have you on the show. We're going to just jump right into your life. I mean, that's kind of where I want to go. I want to talk about childhood and what makes a 12-year-old child start doing drugs and drinking.
You know, it's kind of funny. And by the way, I want to say hello to everybody that's out there. And, you know, I got to tell you that you are amazing people. Whether you think so or not, and I know that a lot of you right now may be looking at things like you're very challenged and things are going sour and things like that. But I got to tell you the truth. You talked about victim. I never felt like a victim. Okay. And I just did what I needed to do to overcome some challenges that I had. And when I was 12 years old, I went to a party. And this is where everything started. You know, I started smoking cigarettes there. I started smoking pot, just having a good time, fitting in with people. And, you know, I was kind of like a lost soul. I felt like, you know, I just didn't quite fit in, that I was different from everybody else, and that, you know, just couldn't satisfy anybody as far as, I didn't think I was smart. I didn't think that I would mount up to much, you know, and I used, like, laughter, the class clown type thing to get along in life. And, you know, like I said, I went to this one party, and that's where the beginnings began. And I got to be honest with you, I can't even tell you why. It was one of those things that it just eluded me. It just started. I was just in the moment. And boom. And that's the thing, is a lot of times we start something without really realizing that we're starting it, because we're not paying attention. And I definitely was not paying attention.
And I think sometimes obstacles are put in your way. You know, there are challenges in life. I think we always say everybody has a childhood trauma. It doesn't have to be the same.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody has an adult trauma. It doesn't have to be the same. And, you know, there are going to be, some people are going to have more traumas than others. But, you know, we all get an equal plate on some level. And that could not be you. It could be something that a child suffers. But, you know, sometimes I think, like, when I looked at your story, I thought, oh, my gosh, what hasn't this guy gone through? You know, there were so many checklists, and I'm thinking, wow, if I got to equal up to that, oh, my God. if there is a balance, I'm not sure I'm ready right now. So I'm thinking that you know, I don't know. I'm just going to leave that alone. But, you know, as you said, we don't want to paint you a victim. We want to paint you victorious.
No.
And so you were using, you were drinking and using things at 12, but then at 20, cold turkey. Was there like a God moment, or, you know, did you have some kind of like direct intervention or kind of hit a real, real low at 20 when you stopped drinking?
It's funny because I had an event that just woke me up. It was my birthday.
Okay.
And I went out in a place called the Dragon Club. It was on post, and it was really the only place that you could get liquor, because I was, you know, stationed in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and it was a dry county, which means that you can't get anything but beer. Okay. You know, you can't really get liquor. If you want to drink liquor, the only way you can do it is to go buy it yourself, bring it to the bar, and then pay for the mix. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, because they don't sell liquor at the bars there. So anyway, I went to the Dragon Club, and I started drinking like crazy, and I started out with double shot tequilas, or actually tequila sunrises, then I went into double shot tequilas. And to make it short, I ended up driving myself home after, and I don't even remember getting home. So I had a couple of friends that I picked up along the way. They drove themselves home, then let me have the wheel, and it was my car, and I drove myself home. So I got up the next morning, and, of course, there was a mess everywhere because I had got sick during the night. And then the next morning I went down to have breakfast. I had my breakfast, and then I walked out to the car, and I was hungover. I mean, I was bad. And, you know, I walk up to my car, and I was supposed to park head in. And my car was actually parked like I had parallel parked, and it was in three spaces.
Wow.
And, you know, I mean, yeah.
That's talent, though. I mean, most people can't parallel park sober. So, I mean, I at least got to give you kudos for that.
I'm telling you, and I was able to parallel park in three spaces. Yes. So I looked at my car, and the only thing that came to my mind is, who could I have killed?
Yes.
You know, what could I have hit? And so I walked around my car, and I started looking for blood. I started looking for dents, broken headlight, you know, anything that I could see that I may have hit something. I didn't find anything, but what that did for me is that it made me think, I never want to get that drunk again. And what ended up happening was, I never got drunk again.
Wow.
Since then.
So
yeah.
So that's a remarkable story, and, you know, there was a little fun tongue in cheek in it, but, you know, there is a seriousness to that, because, you know, like you said, you were blessed. Not to hurt someone, but there are a lot of people, unfortunately, that have made those life decisions that have changed their lives. So the fact that you were able to give up drinking, that lets me know that, you know, people out there that are struggling, get help if you need it. And I want to share something that's, you know, we're going to talk about, I guess, you know, going you're still kind of doing a little other stuff, and then I'll just summarize it. You kind of stopped doing everything at age 27. So it took you a little bit more fun in the Army, having fun, before you were able to let everything go. But I want to make make a comment. I met a mother last night during a haunted investigation here at town with Go Retro Tours. And one of the messages that I gave her about her son, who is still living, who is a substance abuser, and I gave her this message, and you're a prime example. I told her that I think her mom, I'm not really sure if it was mom or dad, said, don't give up on him. Don't give up praying for him, that you never know when the breakthrough is going to come. And so I think you're a testament of that, because I'm sure you were in someone's prayers, you know, and eventually they caught up to you and you made that life decision to stop everything. So I want to congratulate you on that, okay?
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. And, you know, you're absolutely right. There's always a chance. But the thing is that if you take away that chance by not moving forward in your life and learning from the things that have been brought your way, the gifts, I call them gifts, okay, sometimes they're really ugly packages that life brings you. But if you look inside those packages, I guarantee you that you will find a gift if you look hard enough and you open yourself to it. And the ugliest packages that you receive have the biggest gift.
Yeah, that's 100%. Coal is really ugly until you polish it up and make it a diamond. So we're going to talk. We're going to talk about. You know, I want to paint this picture of all this trauma and tragedy in your life, because there are a lot of people going through things. So I just kind of want to highlight some of the, you know, some of the trauma in, you know, things that you've gone through. So we can talk about what you're doing or what you've done. And so I'm just going to highlight a couple of things. I'll let you talk about the business losses. Let's talk about the two business losses. You had a partner that kind of mishandled your money, and then you lost like $600,000 business. So those are additional losses. And then we're going to talk about depression. You had depression. You had a hemorrhage. But what I want to talk about now is the loss of the child, because I'm sure that the hemorrhage came after you losing your oldest daughter, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, and my business being mismanaged, my daughter passing away, and my hemorrhage were all in a 9-month period.
Wow.
In the same year.
Wow.
Yeah, so... you know, I had somebody that I had brought in to run my business while I stepped away to become a motivational speaker. Now I say inspiration, because I want to inspire people. So anyway, he mismanaged my business, and then it took me 5 months to get myself back into black. And as I was getting back into black, got a phone call from Korea, and it was my son-in-law. And he, you know, at that time we weren't really talking, and I was like, well, why is he calling? And he said, you know, your daughter and I got into a moped accident. And, you know, because of that, the result is that she's in the hospital, critical condition. And I got to tell you, that was the ugliest package I've ever received. I mean, it was devastating. She was in the hospital for 45 days, and then she passed away. She had lupus. She never had a chance.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's tough to handle. And that's what threw me into the depression. I mean, of course, 4 months after she passed away, I had a cerebral hemorrhage. And, you know, I had 3 veins that burst in the back of my brain. They told my ex-wife, called the family, he's dead tonight. And I mumbled, because I couldn't really talk very well. So I mumbled to my doctor, don't tell my family what I'm going to do, because I cannot have 2 deaths in my family in 4 months.
Yeah.
Not going to happen. Yeah. So, you know, that kind of steamrolled everything into me becoming the happiness man.
Gotcha.
And, you know, because, you know, there are things that happen in your life that really go and they knock you down. Now, the thing is that what's amazing about that is you have the opportunity to step back up. All you have to do is take the steps. You know, they say that the journey of 1,000 miles starts with the first step, right?
Yeah.
And I kind of say the journey of 2,000 miles starts with the first step, because I did walk 2,000 miles. I'll talk to you about that later. But, yeah, it was incredible. And I guess I could have looked at myself as a victim at that time. And, well, any of these instances, really, you know, I could look and say, wow, I'm a victim. But you know what? We're really not victims. Okay? We are people that are being given gifts to help us to get better in our lives, to move forward, to become incredible in what we do and how we can share. You know, I mean, I believe
yeah.
that it's my job now to share what I've been through so that I can give a gift to other people that they can use in their own lives to move them forward. So if whatever's going on with you, no matter what it is, there's a gift there. Use that gift. Find that gift. Find the questions that are going to bring out what's the best I can find in this situation.
So that's so true because, you know, we have this connotation that, you know, thoughts are
mm-hmm.
so powerful. And I like that because I have, you know, I have friends that are ill. I've had illness before. And in that moment of whatever you're going through, whether it's illness or it's, you know, an obstacle or, you know, something that makes you feel a victim at the moment, it's very important to see that, as you're saying, this is a gift. This is a box. It's not pretty. It's ugly. You know, it might be wet and slimy right now, but I can wipe this off. I can polish it up, and I can figure out what the gift is beyond in this box and make it my own and fix it and fix me and learn the lesson. So I love that analogy of it being a gift. So then we're going to talk about what you're doing and what you've done. And so before we get into that, we got to talk about, you know, you got another gift. I don't know if I would call this a gift, but you got a gift that kind of kept going, the colon cancer surgery and the pancreatitis and the gallbladder, I mean, the pneumonia, the stage 4. I mean, you had a lot of gifts, the blood clot. I had a kidney transplant last year, you know, and I was thinking, goodness, I don't want all those gifts yet. But, you know, it still was a gift. So let's talk about being diagnosed and everything that you went through with that. And then we're going to get into how you took $200 and I guess made, like, I call this some kind of like, well, this is how I perceived it because I made a little kind of pact with God, too. When you kind of are given a second chance at life, I think you came out of that with, he kept me alive for a reason. He or she kept me alive for a reason.
Yeah.
So now,
yeah.
what is this lesson, and what am I supposed to do with this gift of life? That's kind of how I saw my gift as well. So I'm going to let you give me some background about that health stuff, and then what made you decide to take $200 and 2,000 miles and make a book, and we're going to talk about all that wonderfulness. So tell us about what happened health-wise.
Well, I'm going to go back to 2006 when I had those three incidents in 9 months. Okay, that threw me into a depression. And it was about a year later that my ex-wife asked me a question that kind of shifted everything. I'd fallen into depression. You know, I didn't know what life was, you know, bringing me. It took me 6 months to learn how to walk, 6 months to learn how to talk. You know, there's just an array of things. Okay, so I'm at the hospital and I'm getting ready to have a brain scan to see if there was any brains up there. I don't think they found any that day. but I try and throw that in there, but sometimes people just don't, well, they're like, what? But anyway, so we're sitting there talking, and my ex-wife asked me a question. She said, and this is a very simple question. You know, I mean, if you ever had a birthday, and, you know, somebody asks you, what do you want for your birthday? It's a simple question, right?
Mm-hmm.
I started thinking about it. I couldn't think of anything monetary that I wanted. You know, like, no, I don't want the Lamborghini right now. I don't, you know. But the only thing that I could think of that I wanted people to do was to get along with each other for one day. Just one day.
That's it.
So I created a thing called Smile and Wave Day, where people would smile and wave at each other, and you know, they would say, this is who I am, this is what I do, how can I help you? And so it's amazing how that one question brought up so many things to me, and I took it back to my daughter and looked at my daughter. She always used to help people when she was in Korea. She was teaching the Korean people English, okay? And she was always smiling and happy and joyful and things like that. So I took that gift that she gave me and said, I'm going to collect 10 million smiles. Okay, so I started doing that. And, you know, the funny thing is that I felt like in 2010 that I wasn't contributing much to society. You know, because I still really couldn't function that well. You know, I had a lot of my brain got wiped out. And I was in the process of rebuilding it. And I said, I have to do something that is going to help people, you know, and because I can't really work very well. I can't make money. I can't contribute to society. So I decided, you know what, I'm going to go out and I'm just going to make a video in Washington, D.C. that says, Smile and Wave America, we love you. Okay. And, you know, so that would help me to be able to collect smiles and at the same time help other people to know that they're loved. I wanted to prove that people are inherently good and that things are fantastic, you know, that life really does bring you the things that you need. And trust me, I needed a lot because, you know, I had been in that depression. So anyway, I did that and I ended up winding up going to New York. Okay. I wound up in New York, and I walked 2,000 miles. I never knew where I was going to eat. I never knew where I was going to sleep. I never, you know, I didn't know anything. The only thing I knew that is I was going to wake up in the morning, and I would walk out to New York. Okay? No plan.
Mm-hmm.
So out of 277 days and 2,000 miles, how many times do you think I slept outside?
Not one time. You were couch surfing,
right.
I bet, right?
Nope. Nope. I stayed mostly in hotels.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Hotels.
Awesome.
Yeah, so you never know where these things are going to come from, these gifts that you're given. And as long as you go out and you tell the truth, be honest, okay, with no matter what, don't dice up the story because you think that's what people want to hear in order for you to be able to do things in life. Tell the absolute truth.
Okay.
It works fantastic. I mean, I told you it was mostly hotels that I stayed in, and I had to stay where they said yes. So I had to stay in, like, the Marriott's, and, you know, Hilton's and Fairfield's, you know, things like that. It's, I mean, I stayed in Lowe's Hotel. I had to stay there because they said yes.
Awesome.
So I had to eat where they said yes. So I had to eat at Ruth's Chris. I had to eat at...
Chris, I think we should do that again, and I'll walk with you, okay?
there you go. So, and it turned out absolutely fantastic. I mean, people stepped up so much when I shared what I was doing. So, and it wasn't anything to do with me. It had to do everything with the fact that I was putting positive energy out there, and at the same time, I was healing myself through this. Now, the health things came after that, okay?
Oh,
and the
okay.
funny thing is, yeah, so it wasn't the health things first. Well, I mean, there was a cerebral hemorrhage. I guess we could call that a health thing, right? You know, when they scanned my brain, didn't find anything, you know. Oh, and by the way, when they scanned my brain, they told me that we're let you have the results. Like, next week I find out my results, number one, if they found my brain, and number two, if I died that day. When I had the hemorrhage. That's a bad joke. I'm sorry. I try to put them in there. You know, don't always work, but that's okay.
The other one, I like that one better. Yeah. I like that if they found your brain, because I totally saw that. I felt it.
Yeah. So, anyway, it's funny because, you know, I started having a series of things. Now, one of them started when I was walking. I don't know if you know what a widowmaker is.
I do.
Yeah, 100% clog an artery to your heart.
Mm-hmm.
So I found out that while I was on the walk, I actually had a widowmaker. And my heart created its own bypass. Oh, and by the way, I wanted to say this before. Congratulations on your survival.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
Thank you very much.
That is
I make a joke now. I never talked about it. I never shared it, but I share it a little bit more now. But I make a joke that not only am I a medium, but I also have a piece of dead person inside of me. That's kind of interesting, I think, you know.
Yeah.
I am very blessed to have that gift. So want to talk about what is happiness awareness for you? Yeah, let's talk about that.
Well,
what is happiness awareness?
Happiness awareness to me is that, you know, when you come to that point where you find out that no matter what goes on in life, you're allowed to be happy. You're allowed to smile. You know, sometimes we take on the guilt of, like, something that happens in our life and we feel guilty about it and we feel like we can't be happy. You know, the passing of my daughter, how can I be happy if my daughter passed away? Well, the truth is I honor her and having this movement and being able to go out there and smile and to share and to play and to, you know, laugh and just go out there and do the things that most people do not do because they feel guilty. I'm not saying most people, but a lot of people. Okay.
Yeah.
They're just like, oh, I'm going through this. How can I be happy going through this? Like me with the cancer. How can I be happy going through cancer? I have cancer. Oh, this is devastating. Is it really? Well, I'm sorry. It's to me, yes, cancer is a bad thing, but I'm not going to feed anything into the cancer because as I feed the cancer, it's going to make it worse. So what I had chosen to do is to be positive with cancer. I always say to people, I say, listen, yes, I do have cancer, but I'm very grateful to cancer. But because of cancer, it woke me up and said, oh, man, you're eating bad, your sugar's high, you know, you have all of these meds that you take for cholesterol and, you know, just a whole array of things. And now that you found out you got cancer and they told you, well, you're going to die in a couple of months if you don't do something about it, well, guess what? I took it, found that gift and said, okay, box, let's open you up, see what's inside. So I started looking inside of it and I said, okay, well, if I do this, 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 and this, the cancer's going to get better or I die. One of the two. So I know the worst scenario, I'll die. But the best scenario is I'll get better. I start changing my life in order to make things happen, in order for me to take that path of better living. So anyway, I'm very grateful to cancer because of the fact that it helped get my sugar down. Okay, it went down over 100 points and got into the good range. I was able to get off of 8 different meds. Because I had, you know, all kinds of different issues with the cholesterol and all that stuff. So I was able to get off those meds because of cancer. Isn't that cool?
That is cool.
When you can look at something that's supposed to be, when you look at something that's supposed to be life-threatening and you look at it instead as a teaching, what can I learn from this? How can I prosper from this? And so when I was 60, I had a doctor tell me, he says, you know, okay, so you're spitting up blood now. And I said, yeah. And he says, okay. He said, well, if you don't do chemo, radiation, and surgery, you're going to be dead at 60, you know, because you're spitting up blood, you're going to spit up a little more blood, a little more blood, a little more blood, and pretty soon you're going to bleed out. And I said, well, at least I don't have to clean up the blood. And he said, well, don't bleed out on a white couch. And I said, I'll try to put some plastic down. Don't worry, Doc. I got this. You know? So, yeah.
Look, this sounds like a Dexter movie. this is starting to sound like a Dexter episode.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I found it hilarious. I really found it hilarious. And I told him, I said, well, thanks, Doc, but I don't think I want to die. I think I'm going to be okay. You're fired. So I fired my doctor. And I didn't do chemo, radiation, or surgery for many years, okay? And, you know, I'm 63 now. Feel healthy as a horse, okay? And I'm very happy And even through this COVID and everything like that, you know, a lot of people are like, okay, I'm compromised. Yes, I'm compromised, but it doesn't mean that I have to live my life around being compromised.
Yes,
you know,
I agree with that 100%.
Yeah, because you put yourself in a trap.
Yes.
You start saying, you know, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do the other. No, I choose not to do it because I'm not going to put myself in a position for me to get worse. I'm going to get better. So I can go bike riding, I can go, you know, play frisbee, I can walk, I can hike, I can, you know, go swimming, things like that. I'm not going to hurt anybody.
Yeah,
so,
I agree.
Yeah. So, you know, that's one challenge that a lot of people have right now is COVID-19. Because they feel like I'm trapped in my house. I can't do anything. I can't go anywhere. There's certain things you can't do. You know, yeah, there's certain things. That's, you know, but that's fine. Because you can go out and choose what you want to do with this. Are you going to live in that world that's, you know, afraid of everything and constantly looking at the numbers? And, you know, where's the joy in that? There's none. But if you go out and you recognize, oh, I see the numbers are going up or they're going down or whatever like that. Okay, fine. I'm going to go on a bike ride. I love to play frisbee. What do you love to do that's outdoors that you can do? Go to parks, you know, and walk your dog. And I mean, dogs are great.
They are
freaking great for healing. But the one thing that I do realize that everybody needs to do to help themselves is to laugh.
Yes.
To laugh.
And smile,
yeah,
and smile,
yeah,
because I
smile.
Think that laughter, you know, you take a bet, like I deal a lot with mediumship, so I deal a lot with death, and the dead don't want us to be unhappy. They want us to think about fun things and happy things and silly things, and they want to
absolutely
make us much aware that they're okay and they're a good place and they're allowing us to heal. We're going to go to the phone lines, guys, so if you have been on hold and you're wanting to call back in, please do that at 5476. I'm going to go to a commercial, and then we're going to go to the phone lines, guys, so that gives you a little time to call in. The number to call in to speak to our guest tonight is 516-595-8240. And I have not talked about the website that I want you to check out, the smileandwaveproject.com. That is Eddie's website where you can learn more about his book that I want you to check out. You can read his book. It's actually, the name of it is changed. It's called A Walk from Florida to New York now. And it's not about the miles, it's about the smiles. And so you've got to figure out by going to thesmileandwaveproject.com to get more information about that. Again, if you're wanting to call in, go ahead and go to the phone lines. 5476, you'll be next. We're going to go with this short commercial.
Get a live psychic reading with the best and most accurate psychics, mediums, tarot readers, healers, astrologers, and more. Ask about our 3 free minutes. Honest, expert, caring psychics are just a click away. Live 24/7 by phone, email, or chat. Psychic jobs are now available. Get a reading now at psychicfinds.com.
Okay, so we're going to go to the phone lines, 516. Go ahead and ask your question. Welcome to the show. Hello, 5476, welcome to the show. Hello. Okay, I'll keep you holding. Sometimes people call in, they just want to listen. They're too phone shy to ask a question. It's all good, but if you, I know we had a lot of people holding, so I think they hung up because they didn't think I was going to come to the line. So if we go to your website, we obviously want them to go and look at more on the website, and then you have a smile store, and you sell smile cards. What are smile cards that are created by your happiness ambassadors? What are they?
Well, the smile card is something that I go out and I used to. I'm not quite able to do it. I find different ways to do it now. Which brings me to something else I want to share with you guys. Your smile is amazing, okay? Thank you for sharing. That's what it says, okay? And it says 10 Million Smiles World Tour. I was going to do a tour, but, you know, that kind of got canceled by Corona, but that's okay. And I have a couple of different styles. One on the back, it says, one man's commitment to share happiness and joy across the world. It's my belief that as we grow in our lives, it's our responsibility to help others grow in their lives. We share what we have learned freely and with no thought of favor in return. Do this and your life will be rewarded. And then it's got my website and stuff like that for them to go to. And then the other one just has, you know, it says the same thing on the front. And on the back, it just says for your, to pass out your own smile cards, go to the website so you can pick up some smile cards. So it's just a way of passing a smile. And I tell people, you know, take this card and pass it to other people so that you can share your smile with them. And they always have something to share the smile with, you know. So it's just, you know, trying to get people to kind of commute together and to start talking to each other and to say, hey, you know what, your smile is freaking amazing. Awesome.
Well, something to think about, too, is that, you know, as we're going out, venturing into society post-COVID, you know, I can't tell you how many times I used to be a waitress when I was in college, and people would leave me what looked like a wonderful $5 bill, and then it was some other kind of religious thing that was not money at the time, and I was thinking, well, wow, that's not a good way to kind of convince me. That's almost lying in itself. But,
right.
You know, how cool would this be to share something like that with a service provider to get these cards? You can get 20 of them for $5. Are there other things? You know, he's got the smile bracelets. He also has shirts. But just a lot of different things that you can check out. And, again, sharing the joy and the love and the smiles, because we want to help him get more smiles and honor his daughter. And one other thing we definitely want people to look at, the buy now for the book. You have the book of the journey of your 2,000 miles with only $200 in your pocket. And I would imagine you met some wonderful people. Is there a specific thing that maybe someone did for you beyond the restaurants and the hotels, but did any families step up and do something pretty amazing for you during your trek?
Well, I mean, I had a lot of people that stepped up. One of the things that I would like to share is not about what people did for me, okay? I said that wrong. Not what I did for people or stuff like that, but somebody that I met that was homeless. Okay.
Wow.
This guy, I got to tell you something. This guy was absolutely amazing. Okay, and he really helped uplift me with his conversation with me. He had been falsely accused of murder. Okay,
wow.
And what happened with this guy was, you know, he had met up with somebody on the street and they shot at him, and he showed me the scar. And the guy told him, he said, you know what, if I see you again, I'm going to kill you. So he went out and got a gun. Bad move. Bad move. But anyway, he met up again with the guy, and he ended up shooting the guy and killing him. And then he went to the police station, he put the gun on the counter and told them what he did. Okay, it was clearly self-defense, but they put him in jail for 8 years. And so he started sharing this whole story about he's on the street, can't get a job, and you could see that he had so much joy inside of him that he did not let prison break him down. He said, you know, it's so awesome that you're going out and sharing a smile. And, you know, and even the way that I met the guy, I was walking down the street. I had a baby stroller, okay, that I was pushing to Washington, D.C. I was going to push the stroller all the way there. And I had two duffel bags, and then I had a box of crackers. And the guy ran in front of me. He looked at me and he says, sir, can I buy that box of crackers for $1? And I said,
oh, wow.
No, you can't. Yeah, I said, no. Yeah, I mean, you could clearly see that this guy was, you know, he was from the street. And I said, you can't buy it for $1. No. but I'll give it to you.
Yeah.
And so I gave him that box of crackers. And that's when he started sharing his story. And, you know, the thing is that at the end of when we walked, he walked with me for about 15 miles or something like that. And when I said, you know, I got to go, I'm going to the fire department to thank them for what they did, because they saved me when I had my cerebral hemorrhage. But he stopped me. He grabbed my arm and he stopped me in a gentle way. And he said to me, he says, I know this is only a box of crackers. He said, but this is the first time that anybody has ever given me something and not expected anything in return. And he said,
That's deep, very deep.
Yes. I mean, the guy was phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal, and touched my heart. He said, not only that, but this is the first time that anybody's listened to me, heard what I said, and hasn't judged me. You talk about something that slammed me in the face. That's really what everybody's looking for. Everybody's looking to be heard, to be understood, okay? And to know that people care and they're not judging.
Do you think that because of some, because I think, you know, some of us are born different. You know, some of them, their life changes from childhood, you know, up to adulthood. But like you said, you always felt like you're a little different. You know, sometimes we self-medicate because we're a little different and we don't know how to deal with those differences. But I think that God always puts someone in your path that you are to learn from, and I think it was a mutual thing. I think he touched you very deeply. I think you touched him very deeply, and I felt that. But I have another question I want to ask you, because this has been killing me the whole time. And then when you said he was shot, I was thinking, well, maybe that's what it is, but then I was like, no. All right, so do you have any circle? I don't know if this is, it's been driving me nuts all the time, but do you have like a circle tattoo, or I actually felt like it was on your chest near your nipple. It was weird. I don't know. Maybe I'm having some weird kind of thing, but I kept seeing like a circle either mark. So I was thinking maybe that was a gunshot, but it was on the front of the chest. Kind of near the, I guess maybe where your lung would be, or on the opposite side, kind of where the
arm is.
That's where it is?
Yeah, you just saw you saw the inside. Yeah. Yeah, because I don't have any tattoos or piercings or anything like that.
I live a little. Come on. I don't either. I don't either.
Yeah, no. I've chosen not to do that. So. But the funny thing is my cancer... You know, I had colon cancer. I don't think I mentioned that, but I have colon cancer. And do you mind if I share a funny story about that?
Share a funny story about colon cancer.
Okay, to me it's funny. Okay, so when I was diagnosed the first time, I was, you know, the doctor told me, well, you got cancer. Okay, the first time, and then the second time, I'm in my car and I get a phone call. It's my doctor. I'm like, hey, doc, how's it going? You know, I had just had a biopsy. And I said, how's it going, doc? You know, what's new? So the doctor says, I just called you to tell you that you have stage 4 colon cancer. And I was like, really? Wow, okay. All right, thanks for that info. And we had a little chat about it.
Your doctor didn't like you very much. I'm just going to say.
Oh, no, my doctors, no.
Yeah.
No, they did not like me because I wouldn't do all the things that they wanted me to do. And I said, I'm going to fix this holistically and, you know, so they had a time with me, and they, you know, they kept all saying the same thing. You're going to die. You're going to die. You're going to die. And I'm like, what's up with that? I don't have time.
10 years
I'm
later,
sorry,
I'm
busy.
Still living. Hello.
You know? Yeah, hello. But the funny thing is that I asked my doctor when we were getting ready to hang up. I said, doc, you know, you called me up and told me as I'm driving down the road that I have stage 4 colon cancer. Don't you usually bring people in and tell them in your office? She says, yeah, I usually do. And, you know, and I said, why did you tell me when I was in my car? She said, because I knew you could handle it.
Yep.
And I was like, yeah. I mean, I thought, wow, isn't that cool? And I thought it was kind of funny, too, that, you know, my doctor would recognize the fact that I'm not going to freak over this. You know, it's like, okay, next. You know, I've had all these other things, and I survived that, you know. So, and she also said, you've got this because you've been through worse.
Yeah.
I say, okay, thanks, doc. But,
so this was a little icing on the cake. It was just
a little icing on the cake.
Yeah. A little gift. And, you know, I like this analogy. It came to me a little bit ago. I'm going to give you a gift, okay? Now, you don't know if this gift is going to be gold and jewels or if it's going to be a snake. But you're going to open it anyway because it's a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And if by chance it's a snake, it's not poisonous and it's not going to bite you.
Mm-hmm.
It's only fear.
Right.
So you know, either way, you still get a good gift, you know. And so I think that's – I love the analogy of everything that you go through because, you know, we all go through things in relationships, and sometimes we say, oh, my God, what is the universe trying to teach me in this? It is a gift. It is a gift for you to look within yourself and figure out what you need to do to better yourself. And like you said, sometimes it's some self-inventory and also some tough love on yourself to see maybe I'm attracting this relationship, maybe I'm not eating healthy, maybe I need to make some, you know, wake-up call lifestyle changes to better myself. Let's see, do you have any more books coming up? Because I want people to go to your website. Tell them your website. And let's tell them about the different things. I know the book and stuff. Any other books that you have that you just want to whip out later on in life? I don't know. I feel like you need to write another book. I'm just saying.
I'm actually working on a book right now. And, you know, I haven't totally, you know, finished it. I'm in the process of it. I haven't named the characters. And the characters are actually based on my family. Okay, and it's Conversations with a Fly on the Wall. And it's about, I built a house from the ground up with no electric for 6 months and no water for a year in Tennessee. So used a chainsaw to cut all the wood. And we used hand tools to screw everything together, you know, to tie it all together. It's kind of a cool story, you know, telling you about how it is to live basically like homeless, okay?
Uh-huh.
But not be homeless, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, so built four walls, built a floor, four walls, one window, one door, and a roof, and moved in. It was just an open space. No insulation, no rooms, no kitchen, no bathroom, no nothing. You know, just moved in. And then built everything afterwards, you know. It's interesting because I wrote it as if I was a fly that was on the wall, was watching everything that's going on, you know. And you know, with this story, I kind of trying to make it comical, like I get people to laugh in it, and you know, like the fly's being swatted, you know, almost killed a few times as he's trying to see what's going on with his family, you know. I concentrate on that fly a lot, you know, tell background on him, and he won awards for being the best fly on the wall.
And then he left there, and he flew down to the presidential debate. You can add that in, too, and landed on Pence's head, whether you're for Trump or whether you're for Biden. I still think it's funny. He got more notoriety later on when he landed on that head. That you could throw that in there for sure.
And so, yeah, if you want a comical Saturday night, just play a tape of it or something, you know?
Yeah.
Find it and scream it.
Let's see. I wrote some notes, and I wanted to talk about, I wanted to make sure that I hit all these things, kind of things that I thought. Okay, I want you to, I'm going to issue a challenge to the listeners because I think this is something that you created, but I think this would be good. You started something called a smile hunt. where I guess what are ways that people can hunt for smiles? And we're going to challenge people that are listening to this, use some of his ideas to hunt for smiles, because, you know, I think one of the most attractive things to me with people, but especially guys, are their smiles and their eyes. But your smile, you know, no matter what your teeth looks like and all this stuff, there's something warm and welcoming with a smile. And a person, a random stranger walking, can just look at you and smile, and your day might have been all to hell. And that random stranger for that one moment pays attention to you and brightens your day and lifts you up in that moment. So let's challenge ourselves to create more smiles in people. And then I'm going to ask Eddie to tell us, you know, some ways maybe that a person could do the smile hunt.
Well, you know, one of the things that you can do is, like, we have these masks on. Everybody says, well, you can't tell if somebody's smiling or not. Well, you can. You really can, because when they're smiling, you know, they get the crinkles in their eyes, you know, and the cheeks get higher, and, you know, you can see their eyes brighten. So that's one of the ways that you can tell when somebody's smiling, even with the mask on. Well, one of the things that I do is I draw a smile on my mask so people can see, hey, they can see a smile on my face while I have my mask on, you know? And so you can start looking at people, and you can actually smile at them on their mask, and then they have that. You have the smile on the mask and the one behind the mask, and it will get people to notice more whether you're smiling or not. Because, you know, you can tell it energetically. You can tell if people are smiling or not. So another thing that we can do to
wink at people. I started to wink at people. I don't know if that's good or bad, but it usually gets like I'll wink at somebody like really funny, and then they'll smile. So it's kind of a tongue-in-cheek way. But I love that you made a sign, too, out the window and encouraged people to smile. So that's something, too, that, you know, people could do. And what are some of the other things?
Well, I mean, there's so much. I mean, you can, you know, this is, I'm weird, okay? I love the smile so much that I just do weird things to get it. You know, like skip through a mall, you know? And look at all the people that are, number one, look at you really strange, okay? And then as they're doing that and you have the smile face on your mask, you know, people notice and they laugh. They're either laughing at you or they're laughing with you. So either way, they're laughing. Who cares, right? That's my goal. My goal is to get people to laugh, smile, wave, you know. And then, you know, just kind of do something that attracts attention to yourself. Okay, and it can be whatever it is that you choose, and just kind of put it out there, and then when people look at you, wave at them. Just a little wave with that smile, you know? So they can feel the smile, they can see the smile, even if you have your mask on, it doesn't matter. A lot of people walk around, and they're sad, you know, and they're kind of introverted because they say, people can't see my face, they can't see who I am. Well, guess what? People can feel who you are.
When you think
it's
of
just, you know.
Yeah. When you think of like the not raves, the things that they used to do where they were, I forgot what they were called, where they would like start dancing, you know, for no reason and people would jump in, you know, several years ago. It's so important, I think, to maybe talk to your Facebook friends. You know, we do those things where we share, you know, you're beautiful, take your best 10 photos and put them out. But what about just sending a friend a message and say, you know, I bet you're not smiling right now, but you have the most prettiest or beautifulest smile. Just a simple message or just a simple smile if you can find a GIF that's really funnier.
Yeah.
Like you said, laughter and smiling is one of the best things to get someone to do because it does it raises the vibration. But if you're really weird like Eddie and I will just say that, yes, I'm guilty. Last week I was shopping for home improvement stuff in Lowe's, and I was dancing in the middle of the aisles to some some song. And I did get a lot of attention because I was belly dancing and, you know, all that stuff. But I'm sure I made some people very happy because they were laughing at me. So take those opportunities to make people laugh and smile. And, you know, one of the things I think, too, with you trudging against, you know, these 2,000 miles, I'm sure some people thought you were a little nuts. Like, who's going to just take $200 and just rely on, you know, your higher power and the purpose that you're passionate about and knowing that a way will be made for you to accomplish the goal. So people are going to call you crazy for some of the things you do. Crazy is good sometimes. Get out there and shake it up, make it crazy, do some things, try to make people smile. Join his thing for 10 million smiles. So you can smile right now if you're listening. That'll help create the smile again, something that started from his traumas and health issues and just a lot of different gifts that he got that he turned into smiles. All right, so we're going to plug the website again, thesmileWaveProject.com. Go to that. I'm going to do a short, hopefully short commercial, and then we're going to come back and talk a little bit about you again.
HomeGiftStore.com, your inspirational, spiritual, metaphysical, holistic, and religious online gift store. We offer a full array of metaphysical products, psychic and mediumship readings, books, pendulums, divination tools, sage, Palo Santo, crystals, tarot cards, and more. All spiritual paths welcome. Phone readings available. There is no place like Ohm. OhmGiftStore.com, 850-941-4321.
Okay, OhmGiftStore.com, where you can get all your metaphysical supplies. So, Eddie, in closing, I just want you to tell us what all we need to know about your website and your products and, you know, what you want to share with the audience. I'll let you close us out tonight.
Well, you know, what I want to share with people is that if you really want to be happy and joyful and things, do the things that you love. Don't listen to what people say and don't do what people do when it comes to something that's negative or, oh, that will never happen. Always believe in yourself. Follow your intuition because your intuition is amazing. Okay, and, you know, that all my products are, there's not a lot of products there, but they're all made to either wear or think about, you know, just something that's going to every single day give you something to think about and how you can make your life better and to, you know, look just more energetic. But you know, the website just it has a few pictures of the walk on there, you know, has about the book and things like that. I want to enhance that a little bit more, but the most important message is always believe in yourself. And I want to read this real quick. I hope I have time. It's very short, but something that I wrote, and this is something that I really want to put out there, hand it out, actually. And it says, you are beautiful, and you make a difference in this world. No matter who you are, no matter what you do, there are people in this world that look up to you, people who love you and care about your well-being. A piece of their heart shines in your heart. A piece of their soul shines in your soul. A part of their energy radiates in your world, and you may not even be aware of it. Live each moment as if it's a building block to an incredible life that you deserve. Find the good in life and use it as your guide for a better future. Accept the bad as a teacher to bring you through rough times. And use your smile to engage and transform your heart into a superconductor of happiness and joy. May you live, love, and create the life of your dreams.
I love that. That should be on a
card.
I think you should put that on a card.
I actually have
it
shirt. On a...
Yeah,
and you know, there's a lot of things that I want to do that I haven't quite done yet. So it's a work in progress. And remember that your life is always a work in progress. Your happiness, your joy, your smile, your laughter is always a work in progress. And it's up to you to make the decisions of what you want in your life that are going to make you happy, that are going to bring you joy, that are going to help the people around you to feel better about themselves.
I love that your life is a WIP, a work in progress, because you know,
yeah.
I can honestly say that my life has changed drastically from a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
We go through things, but we also self-analyze and we make changes.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes
yes,
you
do.
Make big changes. And so I'm sure there are people that are listening that are going through things either through relationship issues or, you know, health issues, financial issues. Maybe that box that you got, that gift right now, does not feel like it really is a gift. But I think
mm-hmm.
Eddie's story is a wonderful example of, you know, like I said, I think we all go through things, and if I have to have his checklist to keep up and balance, I don't think I'm ready for that because he's been through a lot. But when we look at our lives, maybe we haven't dealt with as many things as he has. So we look at his story and we're grateful for the lessons that his issues and traumas and things have shown us, to be so grateful for what we thought was bad. Oh, gosh, we're blessed, right? But then we also
yeah,
see how
sure.
he took that and he flipped it and he created a movement that it intrinsically helped and healed him and also honored his child and his life and his legacy. So what I say to you in closing is to take your gift, whatever it is, even if it's, you know, if it's not a good gift right now in your mind, because maybe it just feels like it's got nails all on it, you know, it's not
mm-hmm.
a pleasant gift. Find the beauty of that gift. Find the lesson of that gift. Make the changes you need to make intrinsically and with people that you hang with. Some of it is not just about you. Some of it is environmental. But, you know, the key is, yeah, it might be 2,000 steps or 2,000 miles, but you can't do all that. So he even said just take the first step, okay? You might only be able to take 200 steps right now, and that's okay, but make that first step. Eddie, it's been such a pleasure to have you guys. Go to his website, thesmileandwaveproject.com, and if you're wanting him to appear on your show or you want to know more about his life or you have an expo or want him to speak or if you've got a church and you think, hey, you know, he would be a wonderful motivational speaker, inspirational speaker, definitely check him out, guys. Spread his message, spread his journey, spread his story. Because I think that, you know, there are a lot of people that are going through things, and when you see a situation like this, you appreciate that your struggles maybe are not that big in the scheme of things. So thank you so much again, Eddie, for your story and your inspiration to me and others. I appreciate you coming on the show tonight, okay?
I'm very, very honored to be here. Thank you so much for asking, and, you know, it's just been an amazing show for me. And, you know, for everybody out there, just make sure you love yourself and those around you. Make sure you know who you are, because you are amazing. You definitely are amazing. You have a great night, and just keep going. Never stop. Go. Never give up. Never surrender.
Never give
Thank
up,
you.
Never surrender. Like one of my favorite songs. I love that. God bless, guys. Good night.
Yeah. Good night.
Thank you.